Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 306, part 2, the conclusion to Calmness, part 1. Today is Sunday, August 25th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Well, that only divine power can deliver you. And then constraining. He presses us no further. We must willingly, inwardly surrender. You have to do it. Then comes the cleansing. The Holy Spirit came on Jesus as a dove. But then it says on the disciples he came as fire. Why? He needed no cleansing. The dove, a sign of peace and divine approval. And next, coordinating. All the soul forces are united into one, and the conflicts are kicked out. Oh, it's so wonderful, the deliverance and the cleansing of the Holy Spirit when you allow it to happen, and you don't get into a whole lot of legalities so that you can gain back where you once were when you first were saved, Mr. Perfect. How many know there is no such thing outside of Jesus Christ as Mr. Perfect? Forget it. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you just the way you are. That's great, because nobody else does. I mean, really the way you are. Are you hearing it? Next comes consecration, and we are consecrated, the Bible says, to kingdom purposes, given a ministry. Well, what does that mean? Well, you might have the ministry of sweeping the floor. Well, that's no lesser than ministering or anything else. If you're faithful, sweeping the floor, that's really being faithful. Because there's no big medals that comes with it. But you get somebody in that doesn't know how to sweep a floor, and they'll appreciate you, right? That makes their initials in the middle of the floor. Just come in and does a zooper. like at your shop down there. Do you really appreciate someone that cleans the kennels and things after you see what someone else does? I mean, we can sometimes take people for granted that sweep floors, right? Well, that's a great ministry. Would you like to go in the bathroom and see the toilet bowls at attention? They're all shiny. The porcelain's all shiny and everything. You feel better about going there? Would you say that was a good ministry? Or do you want somebody that goes in there, oh, there's nothing in this ministry. I mean, there's no glory in it. It just leaves things looking terrible. And so he cleanses us for a ministry of one kind or another. You know, in the talents ministry, I believe the person with the one talent, if he would have used that one talent, would have been greater than the person with the 10 talents. It took a little more guts to do it, that's why. Are you hearing this? Giving you a ministry. There's so many people that are running around looking for a ministry. Well, we all have a ministry of reconciling people unto Christ. Next, contributing. And so the Holy Spirit takes that oneness within us and uses it to help others. Now, you're not self-occupied, but you're other conscious. You're conscious of the people around you. Now, when you're a teenager, you're oblivious of that there's anyone out there but yourself. Huh? Combing your hair for hours, you know what I mean? Huh? You need someone else to focus your attention on. Well, some people refuse to do it. They can even have kids and they won't give them a nickel's worth of time because they refuse to take their eyes off of themselves. But the Holy Spirit, if you will allow Him, will get you to contributing. Next comes comforting. And we are comforted in trials. Oh, that's great. You're going through a trial and it's at the midnight hour and all of a sudden a peace comes over you. And you start to get comfort. Lastly, then, controlling. He does all this where He is in control. He gives us the spirit of self-control. Cleansing now starts. That's where it starts. It's once and for all, and it's continually. And so you have to surrender. See, when we're saved, we're cleansed, and it says, "You are clean," Jesus said. Well, that "you are clean" is by the word I have spoken to you. Well, doesn't Jesus give you a word? Don't people give you a word? Jesus says, "You are clean by the word I have spoken unto you." Well, you're sitting there, "Well, I don't feel clean. Why don't I feel clean?" No, see, it was the word of anticipation rather than realization. Only when the Holy Spirit came upon them were they cleansed to their depths. Jesus speaks a word and sees you as clean before you are. And you anticipate that to be happening down the line. So now you don't have to worry about it. It will happen. The most perverted person, when Jesus speaks to them, "You are clean by the blood of the Lamb," and they go on and everything is wrong that they're doing. But when they receive that word, they anticipate it happening. I remember that when I first got saved and I had a problem with alcohol, and I quit drinking beer and I quit drinking whiskey, and I went in and I got wine that was blessed by the rabbis. That's how the mind thinks. You know, I was looking for an excuse to nip. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "I didn't ask you to give up anything. But after a while, as I read the word, and it says, no greater love of the man, he would die for a friend. He said, Paul, give your life for a friend. Your life, if your life is just one little glass of wine, will you give it up for a friend, some wino that has a problem? I never drank after that. Even wine, blessed by the Rabbonis. Why? He had spoken the word to me and made me clean, so I was clean. See, we go by sight. Oh, that guy's a filthy, nasty, perverted, you know, it's no good. And aren't we quick to make snap judgments on other people? Oh, and you'll hear people say, this person isn't saved. And that person isn't saved. Well, they don't go to church. Listen, some of the meanest people I know go to church. Well, it's the truth, isn't it? Tell the truth and the truth will set you free. So you can go to church or not go to church. Oh, you're not saved because you don't go to church. Yet this person has received Christ as their personal Savior. And they're doing all kinds of good works. And their life is a living, vibrant testimony that Jesus Christ is alive and well within them. And then some boob that goes to church and carries a Bible around has got a three-piece suit on with black pointed shoes, illegal as can be, tells them, well, they're not saved. Hey, salvation is of the Lord, not of you. Jesus is the one that saves. Isn't that right? You ever seen that? We all seen that. And what they do is confuse the issue. Jesus spoke to that person, says, you're clean. And then they come along and say, you're not clean. That's like down there on that hobo bus. Those guys down there get saved, filled with the Spirit down there. Maybe they're not going to church, but we wouldn't say they were doing any kind of a good work, but maybe they're doing something you don't see. See, we tie everything up in a building. Now, I know it's good to come to church. The Bible says, forsake not the gathering of the saints. But everybody isn't going to go to church because there's a lot of them that are just off. I mean, they're so legal and dogmatic and mean, it's pitiful. I remember this father one time, and I led him and his wife to the Lord. But then the son and the daughters and the whole works, they were real legal. So then the dad says, now don't let your wings get caught on the doorway on the way out of here, you know what I mean? Because all of a sudden the kids were telling them what to do. Huh? No, see, it's got to be the Holy Ghost doing it, and in the end it will for sure be the Holy Spirit doing it because there'll be so much confusion going on. And only when the Holy Spirit comes upon them are they cleansed to their very depths. Praise God, after we surrender, we must gladly yield and respond to the Holy Ghost for our deliverance. Well, one of the biggest deliverances I have found people to need is self-hate. You ever just hate yourself? Oh, I just hate myself. I just hate my hair. I just hate my body. I just hate this. Huh? And as we pass it on to others and ourselves, Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's why they call people hateful, full of hate. They can't love themselves. Philippians 4, 6 through 9, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is of good repute. And he goes on, if there is any excellence, and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. It's talking about thinking about the right things. Think about a person in a lovely light instead of thinking about how they are or what you think they are. And going on then, the things you have learned and have received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. What a prize! Well, how did Paul learn all these things? By struggle. When you first start your job, how did you learn, Marty? By struggle. When you first got into making cabinets and things like that. You learn by struggle. You learn by cutting your hands. You learn by struggle. Is that right? Is there any other way that you can learn? It doesn't come easy. Being a young person isn't easy. It's hard. Struggle. How old are you now? 12 years old. You remember when you were 12 years old? Wasn't that a struggle? I remember when I was 12 years old. I had a full mustache. Huh? Great big head of hair, and I weighed about 95 pounds or something like that. Boy, it was a struggle, and I had a nose as big as a banana hanging off my face. Huh? Life's a struggle. I mean, you think these little guys don't have struggles? Sure, they got struggles. Go out there and get into the sandbox. Your little kids, you got little kids. You get in the sandbox out there, and then Mr. Bully Bully takes the sand, or maybe your kid's Mr. Bully Bully, I don't know, dumps the sand over the top of the kid's head. Yeah, it's a struggle. And then Dad takes them inside. Now, next time that happens, give them a left uppercut. Let me show you how to do this. Isn't you? We like to help our kids with their struggles. You remember the kids across the street over there? I planned a deal for that one kid to come around the house so I could bump him on the head. I'm so tired of the kids struggling with these people. Remember that, Debbie? But what good is life without the struggle? Every one of those young kids out there I led to the Lord. Every one of them. Not one or two, I mean the whole neighborhood. How did he learn? Through struggle. And I think preachers that have something to share must go through the struggle, must go through the fire, or they don't know from whence they speak. I'm commencing to believe that more and more when I hear preachers get on the radio. And there's a lot of them on there. And by the time you listen to 7 or 8 programs, you are totally confused. You can get up in the morning just feeling so saved, you never felt so saved in all your life. And then you listen to one of these boobs on the radio, and man, you feel like you're Satan's helper. They haven't been through anything. The only thing they've suffered with is their self. And so when they minister about their own hates about themselves. Well, I know all about myself. That's why I know. And I know I'm going to be saved. That's why I believe everybody can be saved. All that will call upon his name. Okay? No. Preachers that have something to share must go through the struggle. Jim, you wouldn't even have a ministry if you didn't go through the struggle. I mean, they can just flippantly come down and ask you, well, how's it doing? And preachers can come down there. How's it doing on the old hobo run down here? And they might help out once or twice. Till man Mountain Dean comes through that front door of that bus. Huh? With a honker about that big on there, with a little glowworm nose on. You know what I'm talking about? Thumping and yelling and screaming and half insane in there. I never forget, I went down that one time. This guy was about, I am not kidding you, he was 7 foot tall. I know, because I had the print of his belt buckle on my forehead when he hugged me. And this guy was ranting and raving, but I did have calmness. And it rubbed off on this guy, and the guy started weeping. And that's when he got carried away and squeezed me and put this imprint upon my head. But but you never know until you actually get involved. And then you really start to see things in these people that you don't have. And you start to see, you know what I mean, all of us. When we minister to the very lowly, sometimes you think, you know, look, this guy's got some love I don't even have. You'll see them do things for one another that we don't do for one another. And you start to realize, my God, this guy's a real saint in rags. How do you suppose Jesus looks at that when he looks down and he sees this whole scene down there with this hobo bus down there? How do you suppose a great cloud of witnesses that are encompassed about, how do you suppose they view the scene versus just sitting in church and learning and never coming to know Jesus through his suffering? Don't you think that would look kind of stinky? Don't you think that'd make an awful boring movie? They have to watch this cloud of witnesses. How long do you think they watch a boring movie like that? All the same people sitting in church, giving the same testimony. Well, I praise God I'm saved. I remember this guy, he'd give the same testimony for a year. Well, I thought to myself, when are you going to do something with this saved life? I'm really praising God I'm saved tonight. And so every time he'd get up, you knew exactly what he was going to say. How long do you think the cloud of witnesses is going to watch that old rerun movie? In other words, what kind of viewing are you? Can you love somebody that's totally in your natural unlovable? Maybe it's your parents. You listening on the radio. Maybe you have a problem with that. No. Preachers, we have to get our messages by crossing the desert. We have to get our message by putting on the full armor of God. And they have to enter darkness and bring out a message of victory. Preachers, you're going to have to go into darkness to get a message and come out victorious. It says that his light shines out of the darkness. Where is God? In the darkness. His light shines out of the darkness. And so these preachers, and we preachers, must face the giant, must take the seventh dip, must face ridicule. They must enter into the lion's den, and they must battle the demon forces on Mount Carmel. They must speak the truth and expect a battle. See, they are called all manner of evil for his name's sake, and they must learn to forgive 70 times 7, and they must learn to go the second mile, and they don't complain. They just say, move over, I'm a-going through. Move over. They might even counsel at the midnight hour. Is it worth it? Yeah. Because at some point in the battle, they come to the realization of the majesty, and this is what I'm talking about today, the majesty of calmness. Wow. And I believe that that calmness, and I'll close it up, is the rarest quality in human life. It is the poise, let's say, of the greatness and of the greatest nature in harmony with itself and its ideals. And what happens is, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit in Romans 8 and 16 It gives calmness. Let's add this scripture to it. I am speaking the truth in Christ. My conscience bears witness in the Holy Spirit, Romans 9:1. It creates calmness. And so now we have a double witness, the witness of the Spirit and the witness of your own spirit. And when Jesus speaks to you, oh, and that's so wonderful, when Jesus speaks to you, it happens all the time if you're listening. He'll speak to you, and you'll have peace, and you'll say the same thing he did. You confess it with your mouth. You're saved by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, and you testify what Jesus is. I don't do these things of my own, Jesus said, by the Father. And so immediately when you get that witness in your spirit, you mouth it. Where two together agree as touching any one thing, who better to agree with than God? Sometimes you don't even feel like you're worthy. That hasn't got a thing to do with it either. You have that double witness. Oh, that's so beautiful when you have a double witness and you know that finances are where they should be, and then all of a sudden God says, well, don't worry. There'll be something happening very soon now. And then you say, well, something's going to happen very soon. What's that? That's a double witness. That's a take. That's a micro switch make. It's a take. And so now we find our spirits change, and the Spirit says, you are victorious. And then our spirit says, I am victorious. And the Spirit says, be whole. And you say, well, I will be whole. You agree. The Spirit says, rise up and walk. And our spirit says, where's my shoes? The Spirit says, love your brother. And our spirit says, well, which way did he go? Because when we have confirmation in our spirit, we now have the moral atmosphere of self-reliancy and a self-controlled person. You know why? Because we have the mind of Jesus Christ. Calmness is the singleness of purpose. Gives you that absolute confidence in God, hallelujah, and gives you a conscious power, something that you can focus into. Isn't that what you want? I hope I'm not just speaking through the top of my old bald head here today, because this is exactly what people need in this end age, is calmness. Well, you could be a statue, that wouldn't be calmness. Or you could be petrified, that wouldn't be calmness. That'd be a silencing of all the energies. Are you hearing this? What we're going for, folks, is an inner calmness. How many want that today? Just an inward, I'm not saying about being dead. An inward calmness. I mean, you can be doing everything real fast and working real fast, but you have inward calmness. You know it's going to work out. Don't you need that? Don't you need inward calmness? Boy, I need it down here. Don't you need that, Mom, when you're raising these kids and going, yeah, you have to have that inward calmness. And boy, without it, boy, it's twice as hard, isn't it? You know why? Because if you don't have the inward calmness, it seems like the kids get twice as mean. If you don't have, Kent, that inward calmness, it seems like the businesses of life and so on like that are just pressuring you, you know what I mean? But you just have that inward calmness, and you just take it one day at a time. One day at a time. You don't worry about what does the next day hold in store. Hey, you can't do anything about those next days. It's just this one day. Coming here today, and I want to tell you, finally, I mean, I'm breaking and feeling better. But I was dizzy in my head. My legs were shaky. I mean, I thought, God, I got to go. Well, hey, you just take one day at a time. Well, I could walk out of here and drop dead, but I mean, I'm still taking one day at a time. You understand what I'm saying? One day. That's all you can handle. Can't handle no more. I'm just giving you a little summation of my life here as what I've learned. That the Spirit of the Holy Spirit can give you calmness that will bring you into the reality that it's all going to work out, whether it doesn't work out exactly the way you figured it would. But when you have that witness in your spirit, peace be still, Jesus speaks to you. Those storms of life seem to just calm down, and then things come your way. They come your way. I'm not talking about prosperity teachings now. But things come your way. The fruit of the Spirit comes your way, because you're not grunting and groaning to give fruit. Here's an apple. Here's no. No, no. It isn't that way at all. And so when you relax and grow in the love soil and just let it happen, then the fruit of the Spirit comes all over. Are you hearing this? Did you hear this message today? You grab the calmness. Today, grab your calmness. Get into those scriptures that I had there and just grab the calmness and just believe what God says, and you get a witness. It's so great when you just do that. I mean, it's something I can't explain to you. But Jesus says, peace be still, and shortcoming now, there's going to be a real breakthrough, and things are going to work out. And you just say, then you say it right away. You say, well, I just know things are going to work out. After you get that witness from the Spirit and you have that mind of Christ and you just voice what you heard from the Spirit, it's an agreement. You see, Jesus' promises are as good as his actually being right there. It's the same thing. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Way in the back there, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? No. Right there too? Okay. How about you, young man? Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior?
I know the Lord. I don't know for sure if he's my personal Savior.
Okay. You came to the right place. Huh? Give me your hands, young man. I'm just going to pray over you. And just pray after me and say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And save me.
And save me.
Now, Jesus.
Now, Jesus.
Baptize and fill me.
Baptize and fill me.
With God's Holy Spirit.
God's Holy Spirit.
And Lord.
And Lord.
With a new language.
With a new language.
I'll praise your holy name.
Praise your holy name.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what it says in the Bible? It says, I knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded, okay? That's kind of a mystery, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But then also, he says, the word is in your mouth and in your heart, the word we preach. Jesus put that word in your mouth and in your heart, spiritually speaking, before the worlds were founded. And he says, if you'll just say it, I'll save you. Don't let anybody complicate that or say there's a whole lot of rules and regulations to being saved. Now, where you're going to be as far as, attaining anything in heaven, that's up to you. But your salvation is secured by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Period. Salvation is of God alone. Not me, not another person. It's of God alone. But it says, how will I know unless a preacher comes? And how will I know unless he's sent to preach? So I'm here. And you were here today. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let no one talk you out of it. It says, neither height nor depth, principality, things present, things to come, can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord. Nothing can separate you from that. It's really nice to have you here today. What's your name?
Scott.
Scott. Scott. Okay, I'm Pastor Paul. And this is a friend of yours here?
Yes, Pat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know Pat. I mean, he's your friend.
He's a friend of mine.
Oh, that's great. I'm really glad you came today. God bless you real good.
Thank you. Yeah.
That was episode 306. That was the conclusion, part 2, to calmness, part 1. Be sure to join us every Friday for part 1 and every Sunday for part 2 of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed part 1, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you'll find links to the blog and the podcast. Be sure to join us for next Friday's message, Calmness Part 2. Have a great week, and God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll.
like prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Spiritual
pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Maybe the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.